Hello there, welcome again to the Game Nuts Podcast. This is Boder.
Sticky here.
And this is the Claw, apologizing ahead of time. I have a cold, so I'm probably going to be coughing and sniffling a lot.
If you joined us last episode, we apologize for that one. It was a little thrown together. I don't know if this one will be any better since it's episode 13. We should just skip this number. I don't know.
I think it was terrible because I wasn't here. So that...
I think it was...
he's starting already.
No, it was terrible because this one forgot to be here. Yeah. It wasn't even like he was planning on it or anything.
Yeah.
But... you know, moving on. I think we all have some topics to talk about this time, so we're going to be, you know, running out of time instead of trying to make up time.
Yeah, a lot going on this week, honestly.
One that we were just watching, for Halo 3 ODST, there was a live-action trailer released.
Oh, God. It was beautiful. Like, it's... even though it's a live-action trailer and there is no gameplay whatsoever, it still got me more hyped than any of the gameplay trailers have. It's literally like Full Metal Jacket meets Halo in a trailer. It's beautiful.
It's nice. I mean, I have been interested in Halo ODST, you know, for a while.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the Halo fans are like, oh, there's no Master Chief. It's a middle of the story. And, you know, it hasn't... I think this trailer can do a lot to generate interest in the game.
Yeah.
This is true. Because, I mean, Halo 3 got hyped to no end. And now that ODST's coming out, I haven't seen quite the same amount of buzz about it. Like,
I think this will definitely help, though. This is not actually directed by the same person who did the Halo short, Halo Landfall.
Yep.
This is, I believe it's directed by the same person who directed the Halo 3 Believe ads, with, like, the diorama in the museum.
Yeah.
And the guy reminiscing about the battle.
Now that I'm thinking about it, that makes it, like, it fits a lot more.
They are going, like, all out with marketing on, you know, Microsoft's big names. And really, the marketing is really nice.
Yeah, they're doing a good job with it. I mean, it's a lot better than Sony's marketing, I'll tell you that.
And they're really doing a good job at establishing Halo as not just a video game franchise, but a universe.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of a more mature, gritty version of Star Wars in that there are several... there's the main trilogy, and then there are all these side stories, and each character has a story.
Yeah, they're definitely starting to involve it more and make it become more of a world than just, like, you know, a game for...
And it's going more mainstream. This is a trailer that will appeal to anyone that likes anything action. Even if they're not a gamer, they're like, that trailer looks amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, speaking of marketing, did you guys see Sony's new slogan, their new tagline?
Is this the Girls Can Game 2 one?
No, it's make dot believe.
Oh, God.
And they're kind of falling back into their old
habits. It's kind of like
habits.
It's kind of like a mistranslation of the old Apple slogan, think different.
Yeah.
it's meant to, you know, go back to the days when PlayStation was on top.
Yeah, well, they're trying to market, like, again, instead of marketing it as a gaming platform, which it primarily is, they're marketing it more as a home entertainment system, you know, a full everything. What do you need? We've got it. You know,
yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, we discussed this last week with the price drop and the new unit and everything. I've been kind of, PlayStation 3, I can do without it. Now that it's lower in price and it's smaller, I'm starting to lean towards, probably in the next 6 months or so, grabbing a PlayStation 3, primarily for the Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
But also because, you know, there are games on the PS3 that I want to try. I want to try Little Big Planet, Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, great, because they do have some great games, and I think that the Slim system is a great value, an amazing value. I think it's even better than the Elite at this point, even with the $100 price drop on the Elite.
Well, we'll hold off on comparing them until, you know, we get to the holiday season and we start doing those.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
PS3 also got a new logo. Instead of using the Spider-Man font that takes up, you know, 20 times as wide as it is tall, they went with something a little more compact, something that they can work with a lot better, like fillboards and stuff.
A little more bubbly, I'd say.
Yeah. And I think it's working. I think it actually looks pretty decent. It's, you know, it was the same logo that was on those leaked pictures of the PS3, and I'm like, that's not the PlayStation logo. That can't be official.
Yeah,
well, eating my words here.
They're doing the same thing they did with the original PlayStation and the PlayStation 2, and that the smaller version just goes by the abbreviation name. You know, they had the PlayStation, and then the smaller version came out, and it was PS1 with one spelled out, completely new font. PlayStation 2, same thing.
And they've always done good with those slim lines. I mean, the slim PS2 just sold like crazy, like fire when it came out.
Yeah, my PS2 fat still works for the most part, which amazes me.
Mine too.
I've yet to pick up a slim, but yeah, they are appealing.
There's our PS2 fat that demos 8 hours a day.
Yeah, so. That thing just is a dream. Like, every game that we put in there pretty much works, and except for the ones that are broken, of course.
So as long as we're talking about PlayStation, I caught this story. They're coming out with a PSP bundle this fall that comes with the new Gran Turismo Mobile.
What PSP is it?
That's the reason why I mentioned this. It's the PSP 3000.
Oh.
So, and it comes with a UMD of Gran Turismo Mobile. So they're coming out with this PSP Go. They're trying to push this PSP Go, oh, no UMDs anymore, and, you know, it's, you know, got the fold-up screen, and it's more compact and all that, and yet they're releasing a brand new, at least I think it's the 3000, yeah, it's a silver 3000 with a UMD copy of Gran Turismo.
Here's what I think the rationale is behind it. If you've seen the PSP Go and its price point being at $250, I think that even though they have to market this system and get it out there and have people try to get that, they do have to have some sort of less expensive option with people do like material things.
But the price point, you mentioned the price point of the PSP Go, $250. As far as we know, that comes with nothing.
Yeah.
But the system. Gran Turismo
PSP
bundle.
Well, there is a package coming out, but stateside, the package is pretty poop. I think in the UK, they're getting the PSP Go bundled with Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
Well, bundled with Gran Turismo. Well, that's not going to work very well, because you can't jam the UMD into a...
No. Bundled with a digital copy of it.
Okay, yeah, so you can spend $250, maybe $300 to get it with Gran Turismo with a PSP Go.
If you're in the UK.
Yeah. In the UK. Or you could spend $200 and get a more functional PSP with the UMD game. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, why would you undersell what's supposed to be your own, you know, next generation product?
When the DS first came out, they still were supporting the GBA SP.
Yeah,
it's a transition period.
Yeah, for a while. At least a year, probably more.
It's a transition period.
The DS was better than the Game Boy Advance.
And the PSP Go was better than the 3000.
It is.
It's gotta be.
It has the exact same hardware specs.
With a hard drive, no UMD drive.
Okay, yeah. But no UMD drive means it is not compatible with any previous.
It also means that it works a lot better as a mobile player because you don't got to worry about scratching any optical media.
And you know that they're gonna have that goodwill policy or goodwill exchange thing where you have your PSP game and you send it into them and they send you a digital copy back.
I would not trust Sony to do anything like that. Sony does things their own way. I don't know. I am completely disinterested in the PSP Go. You know what? If they released a USB UMD drive for it, you know, just an external attachment that you plug into the USB port on the PSP, so you can play your old games.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah, well,
that would be.
It wouldn't be mobile at all.
I would hate that feature so much.
If the piece of hardware enabled you to rip the UMD to your hard drive, then
yes,
sure.
Thank you.
That would do it.
You know, or if they would let me hook my PSP 2000.
I think you're being really down on Sony, saying that they're not going to, you know, enable you to do something with all your old games. If they are really trying to push the Go, and they are, then you're going to be able to get your old games on it.
Okay,
Okay,
so Sony's going to be really nice about letting us play all of our old PSP games that we've got sitting around. Just like they're being so nice about letting us play all of our old PS2 games on the PS3.
Yeah, it's the same system.
That's different, because the PS2 is a different system that they're really not making too many games PS4 anymore. If they are making games, they also come out on the PS3.
I'd just like to point out to everybody, in the first 10 minutes, we have already made this episode 10 times better than the last one.
Yes. And let's keep on that track record. As long as we're talking handheld, Okami came out on the PS2 how many years ago? It was ported to the Wii. It was ported to the Wii, and now there's a sequel to it coming to the DS. Thank God, finally, the right control scheme for Okami.
Yeah, that sounds like a brilliant idea.
Okami was... Well, it wasn't built for the DS, but it should have been built for the DS.
The main game mechanic in there, for people who haven't played it, and those people should go out and get it right now. If you don't have a PS2 or a Wii, go out and get a PS2 and then get Okami. It will be worth the, like, 78
bucks.
It's basically you hit a button on your controller, and then you use the thumbstick to draw on the screen, like a circle in the sky to make it daylight.
You can draw stairs, you can cut down trees that are in your path.
It's ridiculous. It's the best play control I've ever seen. It worked pretty decently on the Wii, although it's not as precise as you might hope.
Yeah.
For the DS, with stylus control... And it's great because it's not a direct port of Okami. It's being built from the ground up. It's called Okami Den. It's a sequel. And because it's going to be built from the ground up on a Nintendo console, it's cuter. I have no shame in saying that.
I'll agree.
And it'll look a lot better on with that cute scheme on a Nintendo console than any other.
Yeah, I say this all the time. I don't care what the game looks like as long as it's fun to play.
And that's one of the good things about Okami, is that not only does it play well, it's got it's got a great, great art style.
Oh,
like
I know.
That 2D, cel-shaded, like...
I love cel-shading. I'm still waiting for Nintendo.
And it was more than just, the basic cel-shading that we see now. It looks like Japanese paintings.
Yeah. It looks like Salvador Dali made Okami.
I think that's
that's
completely messing up your art genre.
So. Yeah, I'm not following that one.
No, alright, so that's like one of three artist names that I know, and I was just going for it.
Just go with Michelangelo. People think you're talking about the Ninja Turtles, and we'll get off that.
Let's just stick with saying it looks like medieval Japanese art and leave it at that.
Yes, I'll agree.
But yeah, I'm a sucker for cel-shaded graphics. I'm still waiting for Nintendo to do a actual Hyrule adventure with the Wind Waker graphics.
You want Wind Waker, but not on a boat.
I want Wind Waker graphics in... I'm not even going to say Twilight Princess, because that game is depressing. In Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, well... Everybody's been looking for another Ocarina for, like, years now,
and
so.
Twilight Princess was not it.
No, but Twilight Princess was fun.
No, it's a great game, but... It's too oppressive for a Zelda game. Anyway.
I'm gonna have a headache putting tags together for this entry.
Oh, god, yeah.
You know what, just go through the dictionary and just type in every word. They'll find us.
I'm not on the Scribblenauts development team, thank you very much.
Which I'm still getting pumped for, even more and more so.
I can't wait to try that game out.
Yeah, every day I just think about Scribblenauts.
It was pushed back a couple weeks. I think it's not this upcoming week, but the week after.
No.
It's coming out.
Oh yeah, it was pushed from like the 1st to like the 18th or something,
something like that. So,
yeah.
Get that, and then the next week I get ODST.
Yep.
And my 360 should be back on Monday or Tuesday, so I'll be able to play it.
Well, speaking of the 360 and Halo, of course, I think we talked about this, I know somebody talked about this, about the fact that Halo ODST is not going to run in 720p because Halo 3 did not.
Yeah, it's going to run in like 5-something.
540?
Yeah. 540.
I thought it was going to be 720, because Halo 3 was 720.
No, it wasn't.
No. See, here's the thing.
He's gonna go grab the box and he's gonna point out 720 on the back. But
right. The
actual game.
Right.
It's like the 360 upscales it to 720 just fine. The
exactly.
actual game
but
is 540.
If you set your Xbox 360 to 1080p, that doesn't mean all the games are gonna be 1080p. That just means the Xbox isn't sending the signal in 1080p.
Right.
Well, I got an article here that says that Microsoft is now lifting the minimum 720p from their technical requirements.
Yeah.
So now they don't even have to be broadcasting, for lack of a better term, in 720p and upscaling it. See, although anti-aliasing will be mandated. Well, just ride this out.
Find a way to turn our phones on silent all around the podcast.
I just, my cell phone, I put on standby mode. I'm like, you know what? No one can call me. No one can text me.
Okay, they hung up.
Okay. But anti-aliasing will be mandated for all games.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how I really think about that, because, I mean, like, when I have an HD TV, I'd like it to be able to take advantage of it. Now, what I think they should do is program it in 720p, but make it so that it'll run just fine at 480i. Like, you know, Assassin's Creed, boot to the head, get it fucking working on a regular TV.
Well,
you know?
I think the difference is, because I know it's playing Saints Row 2. Saints Row 2, I think, actually plays in, like, 540p or something like that. And the reason for taking these big games and running them in a lower resolution is you sacrifice some detail, but you can get more stuff on screen at a time without any hiccups in the performance.
And not only that, like, there's a, like, I'm
well,
thinking...
Like if they set the requirement at 540, which really no TV does 540.
Well, you know, 540p is basically 1080i. Just broadcasting
that's
all the
lines. But it goes in between the 720 HDTVs and the 480 SDTVs. So I think that's a good one to aim for.
Yeah, and I didn't notice, you know, with all the hours I've put into Saints Row 2, I haven't noticed that the graphics didn't look HD. I mean, they look great on my TV. And, you know, when you're paying more attention to the game, it's not really as important how many lines of resolution there are if the game is good.
That's where I was going with it. Yeah. Like, if a developer doesn't want their game to be the most graphically pleasing game ever, that's all right. Yeah, but having that restriction on there, making them make it in HD, that can pull some time away from that they could be using to develop the game to make the actual gameplay better, instead of just making it look, you know, almost unnoticeably better.
As long as we're talking Xbox, did you guys notice the Microsoft Game Room giveaway?
No, I did not.
This is being put on by Microsoft and the Children's Miracle Network. You go to xbox.childrensmiraclenetwork.com. I'll post the link right on the podcast when it goes up.
They're not giving away Yaris, are they?
No. They are giving away, first off, you can vote for your favorite Children's Miracle Network hospital. You get 10 votes a day. I believe that all 16 votes for effects in St. Luke's and Utica are mine. And the winning hospital gets a Microsoft Game Room valued at around $10,000.
Nice.
You know, for an example one, I mean, they'd work it out with the hospital, but an example setup was two Xboxes, two HD TVs, four computers with four 22-inch monitors, and four sets of keyboards and everything. Like 10-15 titles. Just a bunch of stuff. Like, they would completely, like, you know, come in, we decorate the room, paint, furniture, everything.
Can I call my basement a hospital?
You know, I was gonna say that, but
maybe,
I thought it would be in poor taste.
But you'd have to get it cleared through the Children's Miracle Network, and you'd have to have, like, 100,000 people vote for you.
Yeah, I'm glad you went for it, not me. Now you look like the D-bag.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how many votes some of these things are getting. Don't die on us yet. I would feel very uncomfortable having to explain that to your loved ones.
Yeah, and I'd probably feel bad
and your
finishing off the 10 minutes left in our podcast.
Ooh,
while you're
he's gone. Dying. Well, we're still working on this, so can you hold off on dying just a bit? But no, it's you log on, you vote 10 times a day. Five random people will be chosen that voted to get a free Xbox 360.
That's
probably
cool.
An elite because it's valued at $300.
Right. Yeah.
We should put a link to the website in the show notes.
I already said that I would.
Oh.
I think you were dying when I said it.
Okay. But yeah, because I'll definitely put a few votes in for St. Luke's.
Yeah, I'm splitting mine between Faxon, St. Luke's, and Utica, and Upstate Medical, you know, part of University Hospital in Syracuse. So I'm splitting mine between those.
I have... I'm pretty excited. I have just ordered all of the parts to build a new PC. I spent about $850 on this thing. Is a powerhouse.
Oh, so you're getting ready to play Diablo 3 when it comes out in 2010?
Yeah, that's been pushed back. Why do you have to send me into this like terrible spiral? While I just want to hurt myself because Diablo 3 hasn't come out yet.
Go Blizzard.
Yeah. Now he's gonna get one of the Wiimote lightsabers to start cutting.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been waiting like what eight to ten years for that game already. So what's another year?
Hey, as long as it's a good game, right?
Yeah.
I don't mind a delay as long as it's worth the wait.
Yep. Yeah.
God, I remember the wait for Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
That was pushed back like 2 years when it finally came out. I still consider it probably one of my top three games of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that a lot of games that tend to be pushed back tend to be better.
And a lot of games tend to be disappointing for it. Daikatana, Too Human, a lot of people didn't like.
Yeah.
Wasn't Too Human supposed to be a trilogy? What happened to that?
Oh, what happened to that is that they usually don't announce a game until they're at least halfway done working on it.
Well, they did say during the last year of production that, oh yeah, this is going to be a trilogy, it's going to be epic, you're going to have to play all three, and then Too Human comes out, and you hear nothing.
Well, as I said, they're probably not going to, you know, hype that. They learned from the first one. They're not going to hype the next one for another 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of my new
PC. It'll be on the PlayStation 6.
Xbox 720, Xbox exclusive. Anyway.
I, speaking of a new PC and...
Yeah, we didn't mean to sidetrack you from that.
It's alright, I just really want to talk about my new beta game that I'm beta testing for a game called League of Legends. It's a closed beta right now, and basically it's the creators of...
We're not going to get sued if you talk about this, are we?
I didn't read the whole disclosure agreement, so I don't think so, but...
Okay, just say that you're in the game, and, read your NDA, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Alright.
I have a story that I brought in.
How did you get this invite?
Up online, like, posted a little thing about myself, I posted a couple things on the forums, and then, I got an email that said, hey, would you like to... come beta test this for us? And...
Oh, so you weren't going to give me a story about them hearing you on the podcast?
No. I forgot.
I left you wide open,
I know,
man.
You did. I know. But, yeah, it's amazing. It's great. It's from the creators of Dota, and it's basically if you took Dota
and
made a full game of it.
I've heard about this.
And it's great. There's already 40, like, almost 40 heroes, and they're going to have a lot more in there.
Alright, go home, read your NDA, because I don't want to get shut down.
Yeah.
We can definitely devote more time to it next week, though.
Yeah, I will read it, maybe.
Let's see. I've got a couple more, this time based in the music genre. Lego Rock Band coming out, the tracks are going to be exportable, which is cool, because...
Yes.
I've always wanted to import Final Countdown into my set list,
so
when my girlfriend comes over, I can play it and make her want to kill me.
I think of all the Rock Band and Guitar Hero games, there are a greater percentage of songs that I want in Lego Rock Band than any other. I mean,
really?
They got...
There's so many fun ones.
Yeah, I mean, they've
got...
The
thing with,
We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions, Ghostbusters...
Kung Fu Fighting. The thing with a lot of the Rock Band 2 set list is that it's like, yeah, that's a fun song to play, but it's not a fun song to listen to.
Yeah, of
this
course
one has genuinely fun songs.
And then there are a lot of songs that are fun to listen to, but not fun to play, like, you know, anything by Squeeze. Although that's fun for vocals.
Yeah.
If you say so.
I think that with Lego Rock Band, they definitely went with more of like those iconic, like classic songs.
Yeah.
Like, almost the ones that people make jokes about. Like,
yeah.
We Are the Champions. People still, do things with that all the time.
Well, Guitar Hero 5 finally has the one Nirvana song that everybody wanted, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had discussions with this with a friend of mine about how, oh, well, it's good that they don't do the number one hits and the songs everybody knows. Then people get to know more music. It's like, yeah, but I don't look at the back of a case and see... Nirvana in Bloom. Oh, I really want that. No, I want to see Smells Like Teen Spirit. I'm the average consumer as far as music is concerned.
Yeah.
I want those songs that stand out.
Those songs that stand out on the back of the box, but I really like having songs in the game
that
I hadn't heard.
But the problem is they haven't been on the back of the box. So
there's been a lot of good ones on Back of World Tour. I'm like, wow, I want these songs. Less than a year later, I got most of them on Rock Band, downloadable content.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's part of what I'm trying to say, though, is that, like, even though they put, like, all these obscure ones on there. Well, not obscure, but, like, less than, you know, hits on there to try to get more people to listen to, you know, different types of music. I think that should be more, they should put, like, the real, real hits on the game and then leave the rest of that for downloadable. So you
well, yeah, but then it wouldn't sell.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that if you leave, you know, A-minus, B-plus titles for downloadable, people aren't going to get it.
But the fans will. I mean, the thing is, the fans...
Yeah, but it's a lot...
If there's one thing I've learned about fans...
Yeah, but, you know, fans for...
Fans hate anything that's popular and love the underground stuff.
No, but the thing is, if you have, like, a B title on there, the fans of that group are gonna get it. But if you have an A title for downloadable content, the fans of that group are gonna get it, and it's a lot more people.
Well, yeah, well, that's like, The Who. Rock Band 1 had, Won't Get Fooled Again, great song. Rock Band 2 had Pinball Wizard, not one of my favorites. But then for downloadable content, they had Who Are You, Baba O'Reilly, Behind Blue Eyes, you know, all these just classic Who songs that, you know, everybody knows. And I bought all of them.
Yeah, and a lot of times those DLCs, they tend to take one A song and then two C songs and just sandwich them together and sell them to you all for $5. Oh, yeah,
I don't know, Gorillaz did two A songs and one C song.
Agreed.
You know, I got the whole package because I wanted Clint Eastwood and Feel Good Inc., and I got Rehash with it just because, oh, I like Gorillaz, never heard the song before, and it's cheaper.
How many other A songs from Gorillaz, though, can you name?
I gotta look at the back of Demon Days. El Mañana, which would suck for Rock Band, but El Mañana is a great song. Dare.
But they're not. Dare's the only other one that I was thinking of at the time.
Yeah, I mean, Gorillaz are...
For the
most part, Gorillaz don't work well for Rock Band, but those two songs in particular worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
I see you got something else on there about Guitar Hero.
One more thing with importing songs. Guitar Hero 5 is going to allow importing songs from Guitar Hero World Tour and Guitar Hero Smash Hits, but it's less than, like, half the tracks.
I think it's 35, for, like, right?
35 for 350.
Oh, God.
And
instead of, like, Rock Band 1's, like, what, 81.75? For $5?
When you pay $5 and you get all but three of the songs.
Which
one of which was later released as DLC.
Yeah,
fuck you, Metallica.
Metallica. Metallica, you know, they're the ones that pushed it so that they didn't get, you know, just carried over. They wanted more revenue stream.
Hold on here. What do you mean release it? The one Metallica song from Rock Band 1?
One was later released as DLC.
Enter Sandman has not been DLC. I just checked the store yesterday.
Pretty sure it was.
Nope. They have Ride the Lightning. You know what? I can't remember what they have three songs and none of them are Enter Sandman. I would buy Enter Sandman if they released it as DLC.
Yeah. I probably would buy that one too, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not even a big Metallica.
Neither am I, but you gotta have Enter Sandman.
Yeah. Yep.
It's better than Battery.
That's my list.
This one just came to me real quick. I just wanted to mention this. Did you guys see the thing in the UK where, like, the rating system and the laws, like, that say that you can't sell M-rated games and adult content, like porn, to kids, was actually never fully put through? Like, they put it through, but they didn't, like, file the paperwork or something?
Yeah, something got mixed up, so now it's like, hey, look, if everyone can go and, you know, get a porno.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Okay, I want to see if we can cover that next week, because I have an article here that I haven't gotten a chance to read yet. Basically, it's about the FCC wanting to get involved in game ratings. I haven't read the whole article yet, so I'll bring it up next week. But as long as we're on music games...
I definitely looked at that, and frankly, the ESRB is against it. I'm against it, because ESRB is a great... It's a voluntary system, but it's the easiest to understand. Whenever anyone asks about it here at the store, we explain it like that.
Yeah.
It's self-explanatory. You look at it, there's everyone, there's teen, there's mature, and there's adults only, which we don't have in the store.
I think we're all in agreement when we say we hate the FCC. I mean, everybody hates the FCC.
Well, I have nothing personal against them, but it's, you know, I don't think that the idea of one unified rating system...
This is why I wanted to get back to music games. I'm holding up an article here that both Boder and Sticky are staring at
title,
aghast.
Title, ESRB, sing about urine and unprotected sex in SingStar Latino.
Okay, so I didn't bring the whole article. All I brought was the ESRB description on the website. Listen to this, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Spanish, so just bear with me. Content descriptors. Crude humor, lyrics, mild violence, suggestive themes, use of tobacco. Rating summary. This is SingStar Latino. This is a karaoke music game in which players sing along with music videos that feature a variety of Latin American recording artists. Sounds logical so far. Players score points by matching the pitch and duration of notes displayed on the screen. Some music videos depict women in revealing clothing, examples, tight pants, bikini tops, bra-like tops, shirts, dresses that expose deep cleavage, and performing provocative dance moves, examples, touching breasts and crotch, grinding and gyrating hips. One video depicts a couple, presumably nude, rolling around and kissing underneath bed sheets. Now this is the great part. The game includes a video with an extended allusion to bodily fluids. A painting depicts a pipe connected to a man's groin and emptying a yellow fluid into a stream. As the song plays in the background, I'm not going to bother pronouncing the Spanish, but the translation is, "My little yellow water, it wets the streets, and I start to pee." A teacher pours a yellow fluid into several cups and serves them to his students, who drink heartily. I thought
I'm not a prude or anything. Wait. Most of this is like, but that should get an M rating.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten to that yet. It gets better. Another video depicts a Wild West scene where a woman is hanging at the gallows while two characters face off in a gun duel. Some videos briefly depict people smoking cigarettes, cigars. Song lyrics occasionally contain suggestive sexual references, a bunch of Spanish, translation, and "Don't talk to me about safe sex" and "Not an animal instinct that goes nuts for sex." And you said you would rate this M. What would you rate this game?
I would clearly put that in the M rating.
Yeah. The ESRB gave it a T.
Yeah. Urine. They do specifically put everything in there. Like, they have a strict scheme on how to judge them, and lyrics are correct.
And I like that ESRB is very transparent about it. I mean, even on the back of the box, you see what it is.
Yeah.
I would mention a blog entry I did earlier, but I know you guys are going to be D-bags about it, so, you know.
It comes to the point where it's like, when I want to, why is this movie rated R? And I look on the back, I'm like, oh yeah, it doesn't do that.
Well, some of them do.
Most
that nowadays, actually the ESRB is the reason why they do, because the ESRB does it. But only in recent years have they started putting descriptors on the back of movies.
The ESRB is the best example of that sort of ratings thing. And if the FCC is trying to get a unified sort of thing, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it'd work. I think the ESRB is great because it's like you said, it's transparent. They tell you what's in there, and they don't try to hide anything. By the way, did either of you see the ESRB little summary like you just wrote about Brutal Legend?
No.
Hilarious. It's so funny, like, just the things that they talk about and, like, what's in it, and it just makes it, they pump the game better than the company, like, better than the marketers do. It's hilarious.
Nice. Alright, we're running out of time, so, since we actually had a pretty decent podcast, I think we're gonna cap this off before it cuts us off.
I didn't even have to use my, fail horn.
Yeah, hey, and if you, bring it out for no reason, I'm gonna slap you. Alright, this is Boater signing off. Remember to, check the comments, send us an email if you want, gamethispodcast@gmail.com, gamethispodcast.blogspot.com. Now signing off, I swear.
Yes.
And this is Fear the Claw.
Sticky out.